During Jesus' time of ministry, he had spent many months traveling through the towns and villages of Palestine. He preached about the kingdom of God wherever he went. He performed miracles, healed the sick, raised the dead back to life. However, the time had come for him to claim his title as the Messiah, the Savior that God had promised to the Jewish people. Jesus knew his mission was almost finished, and so he would now go to the holy city of Jerusalem for Passover. As they traveled to Jerusalem, Jesus warned his disciples that he would soon be put to death, and that after 3 days, he would rise again. As they came near Jerusalem, he said to two of them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a donkey that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it back. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just reply, 'The Lord needs it,' and will send it back here immediately." And so they went away to the holy city of Jerusalem. And although the city was crowded with thousands of pilgrims who had come from the annual Passover celebration, the men found a donkey tied near a door outside on the street. As they were untying it, some bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" The disciples said that Jesus had said that they were allowed to take it. So they did and brought the donkey to Jesus. As Jesus and his disciples approached the city, news of his arrival spread. A multitude of people appeared and laid their garments on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and lay them in his path. And the multitudes that went before and those that followed cried out, saying, And when he entered into Jerusalem, all of the city was moved, saying, "Who is this?" And the multitude said,
"This is Jesus, the prophet of Galilee."
Shortly after his arrival, Jesus made his way to the temple. When he saw what was taking place, he ran to those who were buying and selling in the temple, and he overturned the tables and the money changers and the merchants, and he drove them out. And he said to them,
"It is written that my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of robbers."
Those in charge were angry and threatened by him, and yet Jesus continued to go to the temple every day. He drew large crowds through his teachings. Blind people, crippled people, sick people came to him, and he healed all of them. He told stories and parables to help people understand the kingdom of God and God's love for all people. Even though he had been welcomed into the city, there were those who questioned him, and he began to be tested. He was even confronted by an expert of the Jewish law. He asked Jesus, "Which of God's commandments was the most important?" And Jesus replied,
"Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is just as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the commandments and the teachings of the prophets are based on these two things."
The people were moved by his words, and yet there were others who were not happy that Jesus was preaching in the temple every day. The chief priests and elders of the temple grew more and more angry and more upset. The chief priest had given permission for the merchants and money changers to use the outer courtyard of the temple. However, Jesus had driven them out. They were afraid of a reaction by the Roman authorities because of the large crowds who followed Jesus. Worst of all, for them, the people were putting their hopes and trust in Jesus. The temple officials felt that Jesus had challenged their authority, and they felt it slowly slipping away. These temple officials began to come up with a plan to trap Jesus with his own words. And so they came to Jesus and demanded to know what authority he was doing all of these things. If Jesus said his authority was from God, they would accuse him of blasphemy. If he did not claim authority from God, they could say he was just a false prophet. But Jesus knew their trap. Instead of answering the question, he asked them a question.
Tell me this. Was the baptism of John from heaven?
The temple officials realized that this question was also a trap. If they said yes, Jesus would say, then why didn't you believe him? If they said no, it would make the people angry because they believed that John the Baptist was just a prophet. So they refused to answer. Jesus had defeated his opponents once more. He had also embarrassed them once again. Now the temple officials were even more angry, and they began a plot to discredit him and to have him killed. Because of these events, there was great unrest, even among those who were closest to him. One of the 12, who is called Judas Iscariot, went to the priests.
Gentlemen, this man, Jesus, has been stirring up the people against us. We must find a way to get rid of him, and the solution must be permanent. Now, we must find a perfect place and a perfect time, somewhere far out away from his adoring crowds. And so, to that end, I offer you this. You, step forward. May I introduce Judas Iscariot? Now he has agreed, for a price, to turn his master over to us tomorrow evening at some out-of-the-way place.
Sir,
if all goes as planned, and with a little convincing from Pontius Pilate, we should have this man, Jesus, tried, convicted, and executed before the Passover begins.
What will you give me to betray him to you?
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment on, he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus asking,
Rabbi, where would you like us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?
Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, the teacher says, my time is near. And tell him, I will keep the Passover at his house with my disciples.
And so the disciples did as Jesus had directed them. And they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were gathered, he spoke to them. And he said,
truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.
And they each became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after the other,
surely not I, my Lord.
Could you mean me?
Lord, could you mean me?
Is it me,
Lord?
Not me, Lord.
And the others followed likewise, each one questioning Jesus, asking him if he was referring to them. He then answered,
"The one who dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as is it written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for him not to have been born."
"You do not mean me, Rabbi."
"You have said so."
And Judas left them.
"I tell you this, I will never again drink of the fruit of this vine until that day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
After the meal was finished, the disciples left. Jesus then went with three of his disciples to a place called Gethsemane.
"Stay here a while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. After a while, he began to be grieved and agitated. And then Jesus turned and said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here. Stay awake with me. My Father, if it is at all possible to let this cup pass from me, and yet not what I want, but what you want.
Then he returned to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And he said to them,
"You cannot stay awake with me for 1 hour? Stay awake. Pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is so weak."
Again, he went away to be with his father for a second time, and he continued to pray.
"My Father, if this cup cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done."
And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came back to the disciples once more and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Get up! The time of trial is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Come, come, let us be going. You see, my betrayer is at hand."
At that moment, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. Now the betrayer had been given a sign. He said to the guards, "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." At once, he came straight to Jesus and said,
"Greetings, Rabbi."
"Friend, do what you are here to do."
Judas kissed him on the cheek.
"You do not think I can at once appeal to my Father and he will send 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled which say it must happen in this way? If you come with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching and you did not arrest me. But all of this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets could be fulfilled."
Those who had arrested Jesus took him straight to Caiaphas, the high priest. It was in his house that the scribes and the elders had gathered. The chief priest held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate.
"This had better be important to have awakened me in the middle of the night."
"Pontius Pilate, Your Excellency, we are grateful for your presence. Guard! Here is our problem."
"And what are the charges you are bringing against this man?"
"Well, he's a criminal. If he were not, we would not be bringing him to you."
"Then take him yourselves and judge him by your own law."
"May I respectfully remind His Excellency that we are not permitted to execute anyone."
"So you are the prophet from Nazareth, aren't you? You know, I've heard some things about you. My wife even saw you in her nightmares. So tell me, just who are you? Are you the king of the Jews?"
"Are those your words, or what others have told you about me?"
"What? You think I am a Jew? It is your people and your priests who have handed you over to me. Have you no answer? You see how many charges they bring against you?" tell me.
My kingdom is not of this world. No. My kingdom is from another place.
So you are a king.
You are right in saying that I am a king. It is for this reason I was born into this world. For this reason I was brought here to testify to the truth.
What is truth?
Pilate waited. Caiaphas waited. But Jesus made no further reply. Pilate stood before Jesus, puzzled and amazed. As was custom each year during the time of Passover, a prisoner was to be released for the Jews, anyone for whom they asked.
Do you want me to release for you this king of the Jews? Silence! Silence! You take him. I find no basis for a charge against him.
But we have a law, and according to that law, he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God.
But I have found no basis for a charge against him. What do you wish me to do with this man you call the King of the Jews? Why? Why? What evil has this man done? Silence! Silence! Do you hear what they are saying? Where do you come from? Answer me! Don't you know who I am? I have the power to free you or to crucify you. Take him away. I am innocent of this man's blood. Let him be crucified.
Kill him! Kill him! Kill him!
Jesus was taken away, and Pilate released Barabbas for those who had cried out for him. After beating and torturing Jesus beyond recognition, he was handed over to be crucified. The soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace. They clothed him in a purple cloak. They twisted some thorns into a crown, and they drove it into his head. And they began saluting him and mocking at him and spitting at him. They struck his head with a reed. They knelt down in homage to him. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and they put his own clothes on him. They paraded him through the streets, making him carry the cross on which he was to be crucified. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, and they nailed him to that cross. Jesus hung there and was crucified. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. An inscription was hung on the cross above his head. On it was written the charge that had brought against him. It read, King of the Jews. In agony and racked with pain, Jesus called out,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
Finally, after being tormented more and more and mocked by many of those who had gathered to witness the crucifixion, he let out a final cry.
Ah!
He breathed his last breath. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised and came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. And then there was silence, except for the cries of his mother. When the centurion and those with him who had been keeping watch over Jesus saw the earthquake and what had taken place, they were terrified. And the centurion who had witnessed all of it, all that had taken place, looked at Jesus and said,
"Truly, this was God's son."